Okay, we're going to go today to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. If you are a lawbreaker, you can't be a leader in God. Are you hearing me? Father, I just ask you today, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you inspire, lead, and direct this teaching, Lord. God, I ask that every person in this room receive the truth as you've ordained it, God. Let it be today that this word becomes something that every potential leader that seeks greatness in you will understand must become a part of their life. And I thank you for it this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now, Romans 13. This is a tough subject. I was raised in a family where my dad wanted to thump the police. Amen. I remember one time when we were kids, we were driving through the neighborhood and we of course were a little bit illegal. My dad had a truck and a trailer whenever he wanted to pour concrete. We lived in the city, but we'd drive outside the city to a creek bed and we would pick up gravel and sand to mix concrete. My dad did not call a concrete truck. My dad had six boys and we were the concrete truck. Amen. So when he wanted to do a job, we were the labor force, and there wasn't no discussing nothing. It was just the way it was. So we were on the way back into town, and my dad, you know, was going to jail and all that. All my life, all my brothers, everybody I knew was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. You see, I thought that was a normal way of life, that when you're, you know, a little kid growing up and everybody around you is going in and out, you just think, hey, that's normal. Well, of course, today I recognize it's not normal, but up until I was 35, it was normal for me. Do you get it? So we're driving back into town, and, you know, me and my brothers are riding in the back of the truck illegally, right? We got a big load of gravel and a big load of sand because my dad wasn't going to waste gas money or nothing. Load it down, so everything's squatting on the way back in. Because he didn't want to do a little job with us. He wanted to keep us out of trouble to the best visibility. Right? Because we were a troublesome bunch. Give us 5 minutes and a little lead time and we were into it. You know what I mean? So we got on the road and we're coming back and a cop stopped him. Right? And what the cop said was that his tires were a little bare. Well, they probably were. It was a work truck. And if you have a work truck, you know, you keep it running and okay, but you don't spend millions of dollars on it. So my dad, I just looked at him and I went, oh no, here we go. Because I'm sitting there, my dad used to get so mad. I've never seen this in a person before, that his lower lip would just start shaking. And when that lower lip started shaking, I knew the world was close to ending.
Come on.
And he had no fear of nothing. So here comes this young cop, and he was pretty young, older than me, of course, at the time, but young. And this guy's coming up and starts talking to my dad, and my dad just starts going out the car. You know what I mean? He's just going ballistic. And we're all sitting there going, oh, no. Because we've already been left on the curb when they hauled my dad to jail. It wouldn't be a first-time thing, you understand? But it's always hard to explain to mom, you know. So anyway, here we go. Here's this cop. He walks up. He says some things that were less than respectful to my father. I watch his eyes get big, his lower lip quivering, and he gets out the truck. And he drops his fist down towards his knees because the man was built like an ape. Just a big old boy. I mean, just huge, barrel-chested, ready to scrap. And he starts walking towards this cop. And this cop finally clicks, and he goes, Get back in the truck. And he's unbolting his gun, you know. And we're all sitting there and we pile out of the truck, you see. And, you know, that really trips that cop. He runs back to the car to call backup. You know what I mean? But we're just trying to get our dad back into the truck. You know what I mean? So we all crowd around him and stuff, and we're kind of getting him back towards the truck, you know, telling him, you're going to get shot. You know you're going to get shot, because we didn't live in the nicest neighborhood. Amen? We've had our windows blasted out and stuff, you know, because we weren't the nicest kids in the nicest neighborhood. But you see, my point is this, in that story, is that I followed the lead of my father when I knew nothing. Amen? And I acted like and became who he wanted me to be, or who he thought I should be, because I followed his lead. But today, I have a new father. And today, you have a new father. And you must follow the lead of your new father and forget that which is behind you. Amen. I tell you that story because indeed I struggled for years with a lot of things that involve the law. But today I am here to tell you that the law is of God. And I'm going to read to you. It says, the Bible says, it doesn't matter what you think. The Bible says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now you are to submit yourself to the authority of man government, right? And to spiritual authority, right? Spiritual authority first. But remember what the Bible says is that that authority of man is ordained by God. So you are to submit yourself if you're going to be a leader, right? Because you need to be a leader that the people that don't know God can respect, and the people that do know God can respect, all right? Some people get so spiritually minded that they cannot even communicate with those that are in the world anymore. And the best thing that could ever happen is if we have revival in the police force across the nation. But nobody that's a police officer is going to listen to a lawbreaker. Did you get that? So if you're going to be a leader, and I explained to you before that a leader must be somebody that can communicate to all, then you must become a person that is subject to the authorities, so they might have true authority in their life. And you got to get over your feelings. I had them all too. I know what it is to walk around just dreaming about wrong things and police officers. Amen. I mean, I've been hauled into jail when I'm 13 years old. Amen. At 15 years old, they softened my head bad with a flashlight, where I, you know, those big old metal flashlights. So, I mean, and I can go on and tell you how it happened. But it doesn't matter. I really didn't do that particular incident, but I was guilty of many other incidents. Amen. Right? So you got to get over those feelings about the law and government and recognize that you are never going to be a leader or a witness for God if you are in rebellion against authority. Amen? So it says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist this will bring judgment on themselves. Are you hearing me? So it says that authority is of God. So you need to bring yourself into subjection to it. It's quiet in here. Nobody ever wants to hear that, but it's just the truth. Amen? It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. I'm telling you that most of my life, I had a real problem with that kind of thing, police officers and the law and prison, jail, and all that neat, wonderful stuff. But the truth was, I was a lawbreaker. Amen? I mean, I've heard it all. We can all make excuses, and well, they're mean, and this law isn't right, and that law isn't right, and you can shut up right now and know you're the one that's not right according to God. Amen? Well, what's wrong with a little weed? It's illegal. What's wrong with drugs if I use them at home? They're illegal. I don't care what you think, and you better quit caring so much about what you think, and you better start caring about what God thinks. Amen? Well, what's wrong with a drink now and then? Well, as a leader, what's wrong with a drink now and then for me is if one of you guys happens to walk by, and somebody will, and I'm drinking a beer or having a glass of wine, you're going to look at me as a leader and you're going to go, oh, it must be okay. But it is not okay, because a leader is never supposed to open a door that can lead to another's destruction. Amen? If you watch me running around cussing out cops and talking bad about them and all the rest of that, then what's going to happen as a leader is all you guys are going to look at me and you're going to go, well, it's okay with him. That must be okay. And you're going to do the same thing too. Hello? This is a leadership series. And I'm telling you that if you are a lawbreaker, you cannot be a leader for God. Right? It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. And God says, be subject to all authority that is over you. Alright? It says, for rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. That is true. When I got married, mayors wanted to come to my wedding. Blew my mind. Me? You understand? Because once you become who you're supposed to be in the Lord, other people see the goodness in you, and we know it is the Lord, and they want to associate with you. They want to be around you. Why? Because they're looking for the same hope that you have already found. All right? Okay. For he is God's minister to you for good. What do you mean? It means that they are God's minister to you even if they don't know it. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. I'm here to tell you today that if you break the law, God may show mercy for you. Or he may let you get the full execution of wrath if you need that for your life. But do not expect to get out of anything, because you get away with nothing no more once you're in Christ. Now God's unending mercy and grace can do whatever. But I'm here to tell you, if you go to jail and get out and go to jail and get out and go to jail and get out, there's going to be one day that he's going to say, okay, they don't learn. Let them stay. Are you hearing me? Why? Because he's going to do whatever it takes to get through you. And you know, I mean, I jokingly say sometimes that, you know, if I was to go to jail or prison, that I would start a jailhouse ministry. Well, I don't really want to go to jail or prison. I tried it. I don't like it. You understand? But I am not going to put myself in that position where those things are going to happen. I pray I keep that wisdom in my life. Right? Because it is hard to have a testimony if you are always doing the things that are breaking the laws and putting you into that kind of a position. And without a testimony, you can't be a great leader. Now, there's a lot of great pastors. There's a lot of great this. There's a lot of great that have had legal problems. And it had better be BEC. Amen? It had better be before you had a real relationship with God. Because if you're a leader, then you will read this chapter and you will bring yourself into subjection to the authorities for the glory of God, so that all will listen to you instead of a select few. The problem with having a jail or a prison ministry is the only people that are listening to you are the prisoners. And the world is much bigger than a prison. And you need to be able to witness to everybody. Amen? And those people that have prison ministries, God bless them. Praise God. No, I don't want to go. I still have a problem when I hear all the clanging going on. And I watch people walk around with shotguns over my head and say, it bugs me. I don't like it. Makes me feel bad. You understand? And I'm not over it yet, and I pray I get over it, but I still don't want to go. I don't like it. I've done enough. Amen? But I'm not in fear of the guards or the prison turnkeys, right? I just don't want to go because it still gets inside of me an agitation that I don't want to feel no more. Amen? All right. So if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. You know, I've seen many people in jail and prison sitting there, Christians and all that, and they pray that God have mercy. Well, I just pray that we get better sense to where we don't have to sit in prison and jail and ask for mercy. Amen. So be subject to the authority. It says, also it says you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but for conscience sake. If you know you're breaking the law, your conscience is telling you that, and you do not have a settled mind. You do not have a settled spirit because you know you're doing wrong and it eats on you. How many people know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of people who have had things hanging over their heads for a long time and they won't address it and they won't address it and they won't address it and they won't address it. And what happens? It eats you up. So you're not even able to concentrate on the things that God would have you to do. So you're better off just being obedient to the law, doing the things that you're supposed to do, being an example to others, so that you might have a clear conscience also and truly hear from God and be allowed to do the great things He has planned for you. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to get over that rebellious spirit that's in you. And it's the spirit of the world. Right? And that spirit of the world will always have you in that place where you are uneasy and you are nervous and you'll never complete the things that God would have you to complete. Amen? So be obedient if for no other reason, for conscience sake. Right? So that you don't have anything that the devil can work on you on. Because the devil will work on any leverage you give him. Amen? It says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due. What does that mean? Pay your taxes. Amen? Just pay your taxes. Get it over with. Quit hating life. Just do it, right? Custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another. What does that mean? Don't even be in debt to the best of your ability. Amen? Don't owe nobody nothing except to love them, right? You know, don't go borrow money from your friends. You know what I mean? Don't go borrow money from people. You know what I mean? If you got to go borrow money from a bank or somebody that's not your family or somebody you're not trying to witness to, right? So that the only thing you owe them, and when you look at them, how many people know that if you owe somebody money and they come by, you're like this, whoop. Where's your witness? Amen? If you're not in that position, you don't have those recriminations. Right? Okay. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that is now is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Now, I told you that in my whole house, everybody goes to prison, jail. It was like just something we did, right? But it says, in order to do the works of God, you must cast off those works of darkness. Right? If you want to be a great leader for God, you cannot operate in darkness. You must operate in the light. Amen? Lawbreakers deserve to be in prison. Lawbreakers deserve to be in jail. Period. They break the law. That is a consequence. I was never the person there that, I got so sick of people And I'll stop talking about it after this. But I got to say it on tape, and I hope I say it 100 times. I'm so tired of being in jail with all the innocent ones. I'm sitting there in a tank checking in like everybody else, and everybody is running around like a chicken with their head cut off, telling about how they got framed and they didn't do it, and all this noise and nonsense. That is very, 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 very seldomly true. Most everybody that is in jail and prison, and I would say 98%, maybe 99% of the people that are in jail or prison have broken the law and deserve to be there. Amen? Now don't get me wrong, they may not have broken the law that put them there that time. Do you get that? But they are lawbreakers by their very nature, and they, even if they were falsely accused, there's 100 times that they should have been to jail or prison besides that one. Hello? How many times did you break the law before you got locked up? How many times did you get away with something before they finally caught you? So stop that innocent crap. I used to tell them, shut up, sit down, let me have my roll of toilet paper, I'm going to sleep. And I meant it just like that. Because I couldn't stand all the innocents around me because I knew I was guilty. But I was going to at least be honest in my guilt. You understand? So if you're obedient to the laws, you don't break the laws, you do all the things you're supposed to do, you have no fear of those things, so your conscience is okay. Amen? And isn't that a great feeling to just know you walk around like this and you can sit there and wave at the cops, hi. Hi. Instead of whenever they come by and there's six of you sitting in a car and you're smoking dope and doing all that stupid stuff, you're sitting there, is he looking? Is he looking? Act cool, man. Don't act like that. Act cool. Be cool. Just get it right. Amen. So it says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. Party! Did you get that? And drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. If you're going to be a leader, you got to get over that crap. Amen? If you're going to be a great leader, you must stay all the way away from it, period. That's it. All right? Nobody's going to listen to you if you grow a great ministry. It's like, and I'm not picking on anybody, and we're all growing up here. But I assure you, there is not a minister that has fallen that has ever risen back to where he started from. Amen? I mean, you got to just control yourself. You got to get self-control in your life. And the only way you have that is if you take and you truly just stay close to God. But you got to make a point. That's got to be it. Staying close to God. And you can't do that if you're even a person that makes minor mistakes and some degrees in your taxes, you're always going to have that conviction, right? If you're a lawbreaker, you're always going to have that conviction, even if you never get caught. And that's going to be a separation between you and God. So have a clean conscience. Do right instead of wrong, and you're going to go far. Amen? It says in verse 14, chapter 14, it goes, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. What does that mean? Don't argue with anybody. A leader does not argue. He makes statements of facts. And those that truly want to learn will listen and follow. Amen? You know, there's a lot of people in church that they just want to argue. They don't want to learn nothing. They just want to be heard. Well, you know what? You just let them rattle, but don't you be a rattler. You get it? Okay. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls, Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in vegetarianism because I never read it in the Bible. But if you want to be a vegetarian, that's okay. Just don't be in my program. Because I'm not going to give you a special diet. The Bible says whatever is put before you and you receive with thanksgiving is of God and it's okay. I don't care if you're eating snake. Amen? I've eaten snake. It's not bad. I've eaten whale blubber. It's called muktuk up in Alaska. I lived there for years. Amen? And I'm going to tell you that it's nasty and it smells bad, but you know what? It's okay. And I'll try anything. Right? The truth is that if you receive anything in thanksgiving from God, then it is blessed by God and it's okay for you. Amen. That's the Word of God. Amen? All right. Now, if you don't want to eat, that's another story. Okay, it says one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. I have some of my brothers that are Christians that prefer one day of worshiping God above another. I mean, they sat there and they tried to argue with me. Saturday is the day we should be in church. I go, you're right. Saturday is the day. And they think they won a point. But the truth is, we should be in worship 7 days a week. I don't give a rip what day you go to church. Why don't you just go every day like me? Amen. I'm going to tell you, every day is the day the Lord has made. You know, arguing about what day to be in church to me is like, who cares? Every day you must be there. Every day you must be in worship. Every day is the day the Lord has made. Amen? There's so many divisions because of just little petty points in the church today that we do not operate in the power that we should. You hear me? You must be one that is glue, not division. A leader must be one that brings things together, not pushes them apart. Must be one that is the peacemaker, not the one causing the strife. Amen? So he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. What's the story? Give God thanks in all things that you do. Quit getting all hung up on food and days and this. You know, get hung up on God. And just keep right there where you're all the way hung up on God. And all that material stuff don't mean nothing. Right? Some people say that God will bless you all the way financially. And I believe that. But you know what? More than a financial blessing, I desire in my life a spiritual closeness to God. I would take that above a whole bucket of diamonds. But I'd look at the diamonds for a minute. No, but I would take it above a whole bucket of diamonds. You understand? Because the most precious thing in a believer's life is his relationship with God Almighty. Quit getting hung up on temporal things. When it's all said and done, you ain't taking nothing with you anyway. Put the things you are going to take with you first, which is being the one that wins souls and is a peacemaker and does not cause people to run away, but causes people to come in. Amen? I'm talking about a leader now. I'm talking about a leader, right? Okay. It says, for to this end, for if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Are you dead yet? Have you got to the point where you die to the things of the world? Amen? I'm going to tell you, my wife comes up to me sometimes and she notices everything. And I'm like a goofy kid. I just walk, you know, did you hear what that person said about you? Oh, no. Well, did you know? No, I don't care either. You don't care? No, I don't care. I don't care what people think about me. I care what God thinks about me. My flesh is dead. And if your flesh is dead, you're past all that trash. Right? I mean, it's going to hit you for a second. You're going to walk through and that's the end of it. Right? Okay. So it says here, for to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you something. If a person confesses Jesus Christ as Lord in their life and believes it in their heart, they're my brother. I don't care if they are Catholics. I don't care if they are Baptist. I don't care if they never go to a church at all. The Bible says if they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, they are my brothers. And I don't care if they're Baptist, Pentecostals, or whatever. I am a Roman Catholic Baptist-costal. Jew. Did you get that? And I just sit there when I get around religious people, I go, what the hey is that? Well, brother, you know, they don't believe this. Well, man, I'm listening to you and I can't believe you. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, we need to get over that kind of denominational stuff, and we need to get to the place where Jesus is Lord. We are family. And don't you fight in your family. Come on now. I had five brothers and one sister and we scrapped. I lost a lot because I was the youngest boy. But when I got to be about 21, we went all even. I sought them out one by one to get right. You think I didn't? I assure you I did. Do you hear me? But that doesn't mean they aren't my brothers. And just because we don't believe alike doesn't mean we aren't related. You can't cast out somebody that was born into your family. They're your bloodlines. How are you going to do that? Well, he can't be saved because he doesn't believe this. Well, brother, with that judgmental spirit, I'm wondering if you're saved. You got to get a hold of this. As a leader, you got to get the big picture. It says small minds are amazed by small things. So let your amazement be on the greatness of the mercy and grace of God. All right? And get away from the smaller things in life. All right? Okay. It says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. God isn't going to ask you about your neighbor. God isn't going to ask you, well, do you think so-and-so believes? He knows. God's going to ask you, well, while you were busy pointing your finger at him, look what you were doing. Let me run you a quick little flick here. You mind what you're supposed to be about. Right? And let God take care of his business. Right? Are you supposed to be a fruit inspector? Yes. But you are not judge and jury. No. Amen? It says if you want mercy, give mercy. If you want grace, give grace. How many people need mercy and grace? I need it bad. All right. So it says, therefore, let us judge one another. Let us not judge one another anymore. But rather be resolved to this, not to be a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. That is the biggest thing that I want to make a point in today, is that there are some of you, because of your sour faces and your sour attitudes, you will never win nobody to the Lord. They take one look at you and your attitude towards God, and you got nothing that they want. They go, if this is being saved, I'd rather be a dope fiend. Amen? You have got to get to a place where you are happy in God. How do you do that? Get over your wrestling and submit to God. Right? You just got to get to a place where you give up and then let God pour His glory out on you instead of having to have it your way. Right? A leader has got to be submitted to God, and when a leader submits to God, then God will bear your burdens and you won't have to walk around with them no more. Amen? But quit being a stumbling block by your attitudes and the way you live. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. Again, he reiterates, who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Let me just tell you right now that I've said it before, that there are people that are Muslims that won't eat pork, right? They won't eat pig. So if you go to their house or they come to your house, don't serve them pig. Don't eat pig in front of them. Don't let them have that stumbling block so they will not listen to what you have to say. You understand? If they say, you know, they don't believe you should drink any alcohol or wine, don't drink alcohol or wine ever, but especially when you're around them. Did you get the first and the second part in line there? Why? Because you see, they are not going to listen to you if you are doing something that offends them right away. How are you going to win somebody to the Lord if the first thing you do is punching them in the eye? You get it? So you must become, as a leader, more conscious of other people and be more relatable to them by not putting stumbling blocks in their way. It doesn't matter to me. Now, once people are saved and they give me that crap about vegetables, you know, I just tell them, you know what, you show me that in the Bible. But if I go to their house and they're vegetarians, I'll eat my salad and shut up. You get it? Why? Because I want them to listen to me, not be offended by me. Now, once a Christian is saved, I'm on a little different thing. I'm a teacher. I want to teach them the truth. And I'll show them scripture and verse on why I believe that way. But you see, in all things, I am not to be a stumbling block. Amen? Amen? All right. So it says, yet if your brothers grieve because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Did you get that? Your attitudes, your lifestyle, everything. Why do most people not want to be Christians? Because they look at people who call themselves Christians. Are you a hypocrite? Amen? Are you one that says one thing, teaches one thing, and does another thing? That's got to stop. You got to become a leader that's the same always. It says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where's yours? For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. And this is the bottom line, and I'm going to close. You that think you shouldn't eat pork, for whatever reason, don't eat pork. Amen? You who think for whatever reason you shouldn't do that because it is sin, don't do it. Because you are to grow and get to that place where you understand the freedom that God has for you. But if you think it is sin, then what the Bible is telling you is for you, it is sin until you grow to that place where you truly accept the freedom that God has for you. People, great leaders, have got to operate on these principles. They got to be people that are law abiders. They got to be people that get along with people. They have got to be people that are examples of a good works to the world kind of people. They have got to be the persons that are not stumbling blocks. You understand? And they got to be the person that in everything does not give offense so that by somehow, they might get saved. You are to be a light in darkness. You are not to have darkness as works. You are to be the one that people look to for stability. You're not to be a flake. You're to be the one that people look at and see Jesus. They no longer see the old you. You must be transformed and become a good Christian before you're ever going to become a great leader. Amen. Father, today I just love you, God, and let it be today that each person in this place receive and accept this, Lord. That these teachings are the part of a work that is the road to great leadership. Lord, let it be that each of us, of all things that are true, allow ourselves to be used by you. Let it be that we put others above ourselves, so that indeed we might, by chance, in the power of your Holy Spirit, save some. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.